Well, hello, everybody. This is Doug Newsome, the Cosmic Poet. I'm so glad I'm here this day. I feel so rich on so many levels. I'm excited about life. I see developments in every aspect of my life. No, Don, that's too high in the. Yeah, a little bit more. It was perfect right away. I liked it initially. That's perfect. Leave it right there. No. Well, you have been because. Okay. Well, it's more complicated than I think. I guess there's three buttons for each thing. So, where was I? Because I really am excited. I'm excited about life. I'm excited about living every second in the now. And life has really been treating me with a lot of wonderful surprises. Every day is something new. And it just feels good to be here. The real goal in life, I guess you could call it a mission of sorts, is to have the world feel that exact same wonderful, loving energy in every moment. Just to be and know that there's no worry, to know that there's no fears, to know that there's no the closet in the subconscious that'll come out later, just at peace because they know how perfect they truly are. And that's the mission, I think, of BBS Radio in many respects. It's the mission to self-empower you to your to know your perfection. This is the Cosmic Poet Show. On this particular show, we talk about a lot of things. One of the things that I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to give a rave review, two big thumbs up to this particular movie. I had the pleasure of watching it these past few days. And there is so much to love. There's so much humor. It's rich with humor and something that I truly believe connects people in the moment to the spirit of the moment. Spirituality, the spirit of the moment, one of laughter, of losing themselves to something that they both find the same pleasure in. That's why it connects people. And this particular movie was about a family, a very large family, and it's called The Family Stone. And you can actually go to your video store now and get a movie. Sadly, I haven't been to too many movies of late, actually out in the theater. Nobody wants to take me. I get nobody calling me saying, Doug, it's time for you to watch a movie. So I'm just stuck at home working. And the only way I do get a chance to watch a movie, which is rare, but I will rent a movie from time to time, and I'll put it on. And this movie, The Family Stone, was well worth it. Of all the movies I've watched in a year, I must say, this moved me. There are so many synchronicities to the way you would feel and the way the actors expressed themselves, the acting job. It was par excellent. I must say it achieved its aims, and it will captivate you. Before I come on the show, I try to go out there and research some poetry. If we relegated this show to my poetry alone, it would probably not be that interesting. And it would be a short show every week. So I have to collect poetry from abroad. I would really love to have only one place to search. And that would be at Authors Inkwell, which is right here on BBS Radio, authorsinkwell.com. It's just the link. It's on the main page, authors. Everybody wants to be an author of something. Well, show us your lyrical works. I would love to read them. And that's where I find some of the poetry that I've been reading on this show. And I will if you let me. So post your work there. It's a place where you can post any real form of creative work that involves words, I would suggest. I really don't know what other way one could post something imaginative there, but there probably are ways, so I put my mind to it. But this is one of the poems I went out there and I found. And it's called, and it was, surprisingly enough, it was actually under the worst poetry category. You know, when you go out there, you look, you figure, oh, what the hey, right? Got to see the opposite. So, the worst poetry, well, how bad could it be? And I come across this poem. And it's by Margaret Cadavish, Duchess of Newcastle. And it's probably famous, though I don't know it. It's called Nature's Cook. Death is the cook of nature, and we find meat dressed several ways to please her mind. Some meats she roasts with fevers burning hot, and some she boils with dropsies in a pot. Some for jelly consuming by degrees, and some with ulcers gravy out to squeeze. Some flesh is sage she stuffs with gouts and pains. Others for tender meat hangs up in chains. Some in the sea she pickles up to keep. Others as brawn is soused, those in wine steep. Some with the pox chops flesh and bones so small, of which she makes a French fricassee withal. Some on gridirons of solentures is broiled. And some is trodden on, and so quite spoiled. But those are baked, when smothered they do die. By hectic fever some meat she doth fry. In sweet sometimes she stews with savory smell. A hodgepodge of diseases tasteth well. Brains dressed with apoplexy to nature's wish, or swims with sauce of megrims in a dish. And tongues she dries with smoke from stomachs ill, which as the second course she sends up still. Then death cuts throats for blood puddings to make, and puts them in the guts, which colics rake. Some hunted are by death for deer that's red, or stall-fed oxen knocked on the head. Some for bacon by death are singed or scalt, then powdered up with phlegm and rheum that's salt. Wow. Try reading that. That will definitely twist your tongue. I just love the imagery. I mean, you could spend a week on each one of these particular imageries she gives in this stewy dish. I love that poem. It's called Nature's Cook, and it was by Margaret Cavendish, Duchess of Newcastle. Now I'm going to go to one of my favorite poems, poets. Why, I don't know. Probably because it was the teachers that I so much despised when I was in university. And I shouldn't use the word despise, because I despise no man at this hour. But at that then, a moment, I guess he could have been kinder to me. I needed the gentle hand. And, no, actually I didn't. It just kind of stewed me that he didn't really recognize some of the things that I wrote. Or I believe anybody wrote but Robert Frost, his idol. So I am going to read Robert Frost's work over time. And this is a very small little poem. It's called A Question. A voice said, "Look me in the stars and tell me truly, men of earth, if all the soul and body scars were not too much to pay for birth." Now, okay. We could dissect that, couldn't we? And I really don't see too much that's impressed me within that particular body of work initially, because it's so short and so sweet. But it does pose a very significant question that most people perhaps have not found the answer to. And I pity that, if that is true of any man. So, the question, I beg to even state a question such as that. Here, I get the opportunity to also speak about some of the reflections I have in my lifetime, not just some of the poetry. It is the cosmic poetry that I read, but some of my reflections, I think, are also cosmic in scope. And it's because they appeal to us all, and they're just reflections I have written over time. And you can find these reflections in a link on BBS Radio under the blog and service link. And that link is the Bible to Self-Awareness. I've been putting together some of my thoughts and reflections over time, and so is my twin brother. And we've written probably about 100 reflections each. And I think they're very interesting, and I think that they'll take you deeper in thought. Where we all need to reside once in a while is deeper within our thoughts. Take things deeper, going deeper. I love that, the two words together, going deeper. Of course, there's a book out called Going Deeper. Fabulous book, by the way. I'd recommend the read to anybody. This is reflection number 18. And I numbered them only because if you refer to them or if you ever send me an email, maybe you want to discuss them. Maybe they meant something to you and you'll send me an email and say, remember that reflection number 18, Doug? Well, that helped me. Why meditate? Why love? Now, bear in mind, I might repeat myself on some of these reflections. And honestly, I get something from them every time I read them. But I may have read them in an earlier show. It's only that I find myself rereading them. Sometimes I like to bring them forth again. Why meditate? Why love? Sometimes suffixes and prefixes give us a clear understanding of the origins of language. The reason why words were formed in a particular fashion. They give us a link to our roots. First, we formed sounds that meant something to us. And then we coupled these sounds, furthering our communications. Voila, language took form. Now, meditate breaks up into med, related to health, and eight acts upon or causes to become a curative, idate, if you'd like to, meditate, relating to health, something that acts upon to become a curative. You could see that word breaking up in that way. There are two keys to enlightenment, to the furtherance of a greater well-being in every area. And that includes all mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual areas. And that's meditation and love. I might repeat that every single show because it's that important. It's important because it gives you what your body and what everything, every fiber within you and outside of you desires. The feeling of love and understanding. The feeling of an understanding in the form of awareness of consciousness. And love actually increases that awareness. It's the intelligent factor. It's the thing that makes you smarter. Love and quiet time. Love and quiet time, if you want to put it simply. Meditation separates us, I believe, from almost all other animals lower than us. For example, maybe they do meditate. They might have memories, okay? But the leap, you know where everybody says the intelligent leap, Cro-Magnon man, or who knows what man, back when they lived in the periods of the dinosaurs and they evolved in South America, Adam and Eve, wherever you want to go, wherever you want to take this, I don't, you know, there's a history there. But It suggests that there is one point in time when man made a quantum leap forward. One documentary I watched, and by the way, I love good documentaries, suggested that this quantum leap came when man understood the human spirit in terms of its grieving qualities towards that human spirit. Another one suggests that it was just a genetic shift. Some would suggest it's caused by the environment of the time. Some, of course, aliens, DNA. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on and on to a whole body of thought in many different directions. I think it's when humanity, the human species, began to reflect inwardly. That was it. That's when you made your jump. It's when we made our jump collectively. And I think that's the missing link. Anyways, refute me if you will. My brother, quite a writer, he wrote many reflections. And he wrote them even before I got into mine. He was really the inspiration, or really the impetus, the motivator, I would say, of getting in really full bore into the spiritual understanding. He got there ahead of me. And let me tell you, it's different for everybody. There's no, that's not good nor bad. Who cares? Might happen to you 5 years in the future if you want to think in terms of time. Or it's already happened to you 10 years ago. People are going, bing, and they're coming awake. It'll happen to you. Don't run from it. It's coming to get you. It's coming out there. It'll get you. It'll bite you. And it's a good thing. And I have to laugh because people sometimes refer to anybody they feel that has more information than them as maybe an enlightened being. And that's the case. But there is no master of enlightened information. And I laugh because when people say, geez, you know a lot about this, and it's really a part of your whole way of being, I hope, and they might say something like, gosh, I hope I can understand that in my lifetime. And I think to myself, because I know this, they refer to things in the sense of time, that in some other bubble of the now, you're light years ahead of me. And we're not moving in the same direction. So it's really irrelevant. Right? It's relevant and it's irrelevant. It's relevant in that it's a part of me regardless of what choice you make, but it's totally your choice. Delving into another poem. A poet who I really enjoyed growing up. And he really came into his own when he started writing about urns, nodes. Quite a famous poet. This is John Keats. I wonder how many people have actually heard his name. How famous is he really? He's quite famous, really. Like a Wadsworth, like any one of them. This is one of his best works, I think. To be honest, I've read probably all of them, and I find four or five that I really, really like of John Keats's work. Almost any poet has four or five real good works to offer. It's called To Autumn. Season of mists and mellow fruitfulness, close bosom friend of the maturing sun, conspiring with him how to load and bless with fruit the vines that round the thatch eaves run, to bend with apples that mossed cottage trees and fill all fruit with ripeness to the core, to swell the gourd, the plump, the hazel shells with a sweet kernel to set budding more, and still more later flowers for the bees, until they think warm days will never cease, for summer has o'er brimmed their clammy cells. Who hath not seen thee oft amid thy store? Sometimes whoever seeks abroad may find thee sitting careless on a granary floor, thy hair soft lifted by the winnowing wind, or in a half-reaped furrow sound asleep, drowsed with the fume of poppies while they hook, spares the next swath and all its twined flowers. And sometimes, like a gleaner thou dost keep, steady thy laden head across a brook, or by a cider press with patient look, thou watchest the last oozings hours by hours. Where are the songs of spring? Aye, where are they? Think not of them. Thou hast thy music too. While bared clouds bloom with soft dying day, and touch the stubble plains with rosy hue, then in a wailful choir the small gnats mourn, among the river sallows borne aloft, or sinking as the light wind lives or dies, and full-grown lambs loud bleat from hilly bourn, hedge crickets sing, and now with treble soft, the red breast whistles from a garden croft, and gathering swallows twitter in the skies. Very, very wonderful work. I wish he was here to read it to you. I really do. I really wish he was here to read it to you. Well, Dr. Valerie, thank you once again for submitting your poetry to Authors Inkwell. This was a poem that she posted on Sunday, and she is our only poster. Ooh. Ooh. Come on out there, folks. Show me some of your work. I would love to read it online. Maybe I'm scaring people by the way I'm reading the poet. Show me how it's done. Grab this mic from my hand and rip it from me and show me how to read your work. Because I can never do it as much justice as you can. There's just no way. Dr. Valerie submitted a poem entitled My Place or Yours. There is a place where I feel free, a place of rest, a sanctuary, a place where I feel blessed. This place of beauty, of soul's ease, I do not recall the name, yet it is enough to know what is, and here I can rest. The chocolate-covered colored mountains and mint-green transparent waters, the white sand beaches, the fragrant flowers, all assail my non-existent senses. My place of origin, my birth into physical density, is a place of peace and astounding love, a place to go when I sleep. Such beauty fairly rends my heart upon wakening to remember. Then I desire to be there still, to rest and gather strength, to find joy along with my will. Why, oh why, do I find myself there only occasionally? To be there for even one dream out of many. If only I could go back nightly when I lay down the cares of each challenging day. But then, no one around me would understand how I could be so lovely. I know we each have such a place, and if we can but remember it, even for one night, we can be sustained for the rest of this life. To be there one night reminds us that we are not from here, and where we go back to is more real than this life. It is no wonder, then, that I go so infrequently, for to go more would render me intolerable to the masses who have forgotten their place. But I wish for all to remember and to have the joy and peace I recall in my place, and to have healing of the magnitude I experienced there. Wait, if this be my place, then you must have yours, and they must have theirs, for we are all one, alike in the base component of being. Perhaps someday we will share our place of sanctuary with each other, and spend the rest of eternity leaping joyfully from one place to another. Maybe we are already doing this now. Mayhaps divinely inspired somehow. For there are many for whom this is true, that this earth is heaven for both me and you. Wonderful. I mean, I just love to read her work. She's so inspired, folks. Truly, truly inspired. And what is this inspiration? Is it my definition? No, it's your definition. Because inspiration, just like everything, we each find it somewhere, maybe slightly differently. But it's our inspiration. It's what we define it to be. Can you see now how difficult it is semantically to give words the impugnable understanding that they convey everything? It's wrong. Even when there's arguments between people, speech can't convey it all. And the reason is simply that we each have our own understanding, even if it's only slightly different. This is where I was probably one of little Loki's helpers when I was a boy. So was my brother. We would fashion that understanding of what, how should I put that? The fact that there is a million ways that one could define a single word, perhaps. We would go with that understanding, and we would use it to manipulate a conversation. I can remember doing that all the time. Remember playing at devil's advocate in such a way as that the conversation, you could back a person in the corner, and they couldn't help but reach a particular conclusion. Well, you know what that is. Is that right? Is it right? Is it right to be able to win a conversation by being able to maneuver the message in such a way is that you get the outcome you so desire? It's happening all the time. It's kind of the way the world is working in its messages. And it's not a good thing, because you don't really know what the other part of that world's desire is. You only know your own, and you live within that. And there's so much more out there too. And those sorts of conversations are almost like a political maneuvering. It's just a way to cheapen a conversation as well, because you don't really deal with the heart of the issue. If you maneuver on such levels, one of the benefits, though, here's a benefit. Okay, let's go to what could possibly be a benefit. The fact that you're thinking out of the box, that you're moving on a different way of thinking, that it brings up other understandings, a fuller spectrum of sorts. And I would, you know, I'd quietly applaud myself and think, okay, yeah. I was looking at a million and one ways. I still won the argument, but, you know, I was knew it because of this, and I'd route the conversation such ways to get the that particular outcome or that particular understanding. Yet still, and it wasn't a good thing. And I would say, you know, hey, why listen? What, when you debate, like when you went in, look at it, when you have two debaters, one on one podium, one on the other, is the other one really listening to the other? Is he? Come on. Big debates between politicians, are they really listening? Are they? Even to each other, debating each other, the candidates, while they're on stage, are they listening? They have other people listening for them, folks. That's one thing you should know. Words. Now, we can't, it's funny how I lead into this conversation of words, because the whole, words is how we communicate on many levels. And because we have distance between us, and we use words on paper, and we use words, over the telephone lines, without the body language there, we leave it open up to such great interpretation. Words. Every single study, I think, that's ever been done on the conveying of communicating between two bodies says that words, the body language and everything represents like 80% of the component of the communication. The other 20% of the words. If you were together with a person and they were looking at you. If that's true, and there's only 20% that are the words, and we're reading all these works and words of others on paper without having that, that leads to great interpretation, doesn't it? Conveying different things to different people, and it's been like that down through history. It's an infallible, a fallible way of expressing ourselves. Maybe someday there will be an infallible way. Maybe when we're kinetically linked on some mental, when we have mental capability that allows us to read each other's mind and feel each other's feelings at the same time, and all of it in one package. Then maybe we could come to a clear consensus on even language. We wouldn't even need it then, would we? So, don't be too quick to judge people. Yeah, every time I watch TV sometimes, which is very rare, so much that I hear and I reflect upon over the past year is simply what other people say in the moment. And in most cases, it's a judgment. A judgment. Judgment about themselves, judgment on their work, judgment on politics, judgment on the state of affairs, judgment on, just judgments. And not just, and that gives them, and it's always something, you know, maybe, it's not always, but let's call it negativity. And they let their power go away, because they can do nothing. As soon as you say, something's like this. you don't feed anything positive into the world by acknowledging that, by seeing, by thinking along those thoughts. And that's one of the other topics I wanted to bring up today, because I think it's important for the world to think on many levels. And one of the reasons why I think BBS Radio is so wonderful is because it gives everybody something from one spectrum of the other of spiritual understanding and information. It really does. I raked my fist, pulled out my hair, and thought to myself, Doug, there are some of these particular shows that don't empower people. They take your power. They rob you.
What does he mean by that?
Insane. What do you mean? Somebody robbing me of my power? Yeah. Sometimes I get that feeling. Now, let me give you an example. And bear in mind, this is just my opinion, and I have the right to that. It has nothing to do with the way whether I would change that. I know that I am all everybody's opinion combined at the ultimate end of who I am. In this little understanding and conscious awareness, I'm aware of this way for me and what I like to think about. But on a global perspective, I know everybody's perspective in the sense that I'm a part of it all, and I don't judge any of them. And I think that the world needs to find that component they love the best and excites them the most and hook onto it and take it wherever. Don't listen to anybody else. Okay? You're the master. Whatever you want to master, you'll be the master of. How's that grab you? You don't need anybody else. There is no other master over you. You're it. BBS Radio, some of them take your power. And how would I consider this a take? And I shouldn't say that. It's a judgment again, but it's not in the sense that I'm trying to, in my way, deal with some of these information that's coming to me and how I would ultimately see that and reflect upon it. And I share that with you because these are some of my reflections. And I've only reached spiritual enlightenment last year in August. Oh, bingo, somebody hit me over the head, okay? It's changed me forever. I'll get to the stories like everybody. No, it's just it's out there. Why even tell it? But some of the things I reflect on are these things. And I hear callers calling in and they say, please give me a reading. And you know what I love about the hosts? They're so beautiful in respect that they show people that they can, there's a reason to be happy. Okay? There really is. But in many respects, you don't need somebody to tell you you're going to be happy. You don't. You don't need somebody to tell you your future. You tell yourself your future. Tell yourself right now your future. Have you done that? I will be here tomorrow. I will be doing it. I'll be at 6 p.m. I'll be doing this test. I'll be there. Tell yourself your future, and it will come more realized than any other psychic could ever tell you in your future. But that's my understanding. That's how I feel. So I create that future. That's my way. And I come to that understanding, and I feel that people should themselves too spend time in the mind and unwind. Go there. Here's something else. What if I came to the world and I said, you know, the earth is being depleted of all of its minerals and vitamins and doesn't sustain us anymore. So, buy my supplements, because it'll give you all the vitamins back that you need. What did I just do? What did I just do? How many things on a spiritual level did I do that I need to reflect on by doing that? Well, here's one. I just told you that the world is in a negative situation. Yep, I've given you something negative to think about. The world, the mineral in the ground is depleted. And you're gonna have to deal with that. Second, I took away, you need something I have to offer you to take care of that problem. That's the second thing I just told you. You know, I never said you could do it, I said you now need me or whatever it is I have to deliver. That's the second thing I did. You want to go on? Well, in my world, here's how I would go at it. Interesting. I see that the human body is evolving to a point that's able to sustain itself on almost anything these days. The minerals, I'll bet you that we have radically sustained ourselves on malnutrition and on substances 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 years ago, maybe 50,000 years ago, that we couldn't live on today. And yet, now we live, our body is capable of sustaining itself on greater and greater. Your body is capable, you know, if you thought about it, you might be able to sit there and photosynthesize light into energy for your body. Don't think it's beyond the spectrum of possibilities. But I'm not taking any power from you with my spectrum of possibilities, am I? You have it within you. I'm not selling you anything either. Your body is quite capable of doing it on its own and taking the nutrition from what's there. Now, does that mean that we shouldn't eradicate that problem? Great. Do it. Hey, I'm excited because I just threw this. But I don't want to come at you with the understanding that the world is a negative and then let your mind stew on that or take away your power by not giving you that first initial understanding that you're more powerful than it. You're the most powerful. Let's go from there. You're capable of doing everything and anything. Let's start from there with our understanding before we talk. Before I come at you with any understanding. That'll sure change my focus on my topics. So I like to deal on information that empowers people. And that is on a different spectrum of a lot of these shows. And you know something? I still love listening to them all. Because I find that my understanding grows. On so many levels. So, the great thing about, to come full circle into why I brought up blog and service is it's impressive. It's impressive because it provides the full gamut from A to Z of spiritual information. And just like you have Republicans and Democrats on both sides, where here you have spiritual or a right wing or a left wing Democrat, well, here you have the full spectrum of spiritualism from one end of the spectrum to the other. And I think one part might lead to another, and another might lead to another. So in that respect, I think that learning maybe some of the understandings that I wouldn't naturally bring forth, but using that as a stepping stone to other understandings that really will, help you achieve that personal sense of perfection that you really should on at all times. I don't care how you get here, as long as you get here, and I don't care what I have to do, how what door to open, or what where I'd have to go to do that for this world. That's my mission. To tell the world how perfect it is and that you're totally powerful. You're totally, totally loved. And you're unlimited in what you can do. And the more if you thought really hard about it, you could change the world. That's not beyond us, folks. We just forgot that power is within us. Now, I'm not the Magi, and I don't have that power to turn, water into wine or anything significant. Or do I? See what I just told myself? I caught myself almost on a negative slant. And then I move to reflect, but I can. Every time you catch yourself limiting your understanding on any level, take it deeper. Go, no, there's no box here. Where could my mind go with this? It's a lot of fun. Because you'll find that your understanding will awaken on inside yourself, which will translate to understanding on the outside of what you think is, your outside, which is really you, but you see it on the outside, and so do I, in the world of physicality. But the inside gives you that ability to experience more on the outside and make sense of it in a more harmonious way. This has been the Cosmic Poet, and I hope you will join me next week, Thursday, same time. I hope you will post your work of poetry or prose or something on authorsinkwell.com. Please come back. I enjoy the fact that I get to speak with every about this and about that. Throw in a few lines of poetry. I hope someday to take some calls. If anybody has the gusto to call in, I will surely take your call. I thank you all once again. And this is Doug Newsom, the Cosmic Poet, signing off. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.